Our readings this Sunday begin with what might seem like a strange celebration to our way of thinking sometimes. We have, from that snippet of the book of Deuteronomy, a celebration of the law, a celebration of this instruction, this rule of life, if you will, that the Lord has given to his people. This is received by the Jews in the book of Deuteronomy and celebrated as a sign of God's closeness to us. Indeed, it could sound strange to us who aren't used to celebrating something like a rule or a law to say, thank God, literally, that he has come to us. He has given us this instruction, that he has shown us the path of life through these commandments. And they celebrate this saying, what other nation has a God so close to it as us, as evidenced by the fact that he cares about us so much, to teach us, to give us these instructions of how to live. Now, this is very much a part of the Jewish faith, our ancestors in this faith that formed Jesus' mentality, an appreciation for the commandments, as we have, an appreciation for the law. However, as we see in today's gospel with this scene of Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees, there comes a certain point when that appreciation for the law of God can become very distorted and can lead to a very unhealthy approach to religion. Now, the Pharisees are a group that we talk about quite often. We hear them come up in the Gospels. We think of them for the way Jesus criticized their superficiality and their faith. But we have to recognize that the Pharisees were sincere. It's not that they weren't good, God-loving, God-fearing people. These were very good, religious people who had the best of intentions. But something went askew in their religiosity and their approach to the law. Gradually, their appreciation for this law became full of scruples, full of exaggerations, to a point where their faith became something suffocating rather than freeing, rather than life-giving. And we have a little case study of this in today's gospel that helps us to understand that mentality of the Pharisees, that we must be honest about this, we as Catholics, must be careful to avoid. We who have lots of traditions, lots of externals to our faith, have to try to understand how to not become Pharisees, but rather to remain Christians. And so we see in this case of the Pharisees with Jesus, they're criticizing him and his disciples because they haven't washed their hands in the ritual way before a meal. Now, they've taken this and extended a law that was there in the Old Testament. For the Old Testament tells us at a certain point that the priest in the temple were supposed to wash their hands in a ritual way before offering sacrifice. What the Pharisees did was extend this, multiply that law, and make it a rule that everybody had to wash their hands in a certain way before any meal. And the gospel goes on to tell us how they had developed lots of other traditions on top of this. Again, with the best of intentions, with the intentions of living out every aspect of their lives in accord with God's will. But the sickness that kind of gets into this mentality is the multiplication of the laws to the point where every little aspect of life is governed by a do this or don't do that. As if there were this external structure of rules that fits over every little aspect of life. And maybe out of insecurity, maybe out of scrupulosity, the Pharisees would then think, well, as long as I follow every little rule down to the nth detail, as long as I'm scrupulously faithful to all these rules we've created, well, then I can be sure that God's on my side. Now, this takes its worst turn, as we see in today's gospel, when this assurance that their scrupulosity makes God on their side makes them feel justified in pointing the finger at those who don't seem to be following all of their same laws. They want to impose what they've created, how they've multiplied the Lord's authentic commands, and say, we are the pure because we do this. Those people not washing their hands, they must not be on God's side. Now today, in the gospel, the person at whom they're pointing and accusing is none other than Jesus and his disciples. We recognize that they look at him and see someone who's transgressing the law. And indeed, in this point, he is transgressing their traditions. Now we know that Jesus says elsewhere, he didn't come to abolish the old law. He's not here to abolish the commandments. He's not so immature as that. He recognizes this is from God. Not to abolish, but to fulfill. However, what we see here in Jesus is that he's not fazed by their accusations. He doesn't allow himself to be bullied by the Pharisees. Now, why is this? How does he remain free in front of a distortion of what he knows to be the true faith? Well, for one, it's clear he knows the scriptures, and so he can cite them. He knows his tradition, and so he's able to distinguish between what's authentically the teaching that comes from God and an authentic part of the tradition, and what is just a human addition to this. Jesus shows that he operates on a different logic from the Pharisees. They want to cite the rules, but he says first, we have to get to the heart of the matter. Literally, he takes them to the heart, citing Isaiah. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition. So this confidence in the closeness that he has with God, and the knowledge that an undue focus on externals is often a sign of the inability to get to the heart of the matter. And he tells us here, he told us in gospel passages from this past week, that first we have to clean the inside of the dish before we can clean the outside. This is a good takeaway for us as Catholics. When we interact with our tradition, when we recognize the teaching that's been given to us as a path of life, it's important to know well our scriptures, to know well our tradition. From where do our practices come? What's an authentic part of the tradition? And what are human additions? This helps us from becoming Pharisees, and it helps us to be free to not be bullied by the Pharisees who are always with us, who out of their own scrupulosity or insecurities might like to impose certain rules on others. Jesus shows us the path of life by beginning in the heart. He tells us, just as he's not afraid to take on the Pharisees, he's not afraid to take on the human heart. And he lists off a lot of ugliness that can be in there. From people, from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. This is the longest list that Jesus gives us of some of those less flattering parts of our humanity. Now we know there's also a lot of good in our human hearts. But Jesus here is calling attention to the fact that if we stop just on the surface, if we stop just with the superficials of our faith, we don't get to the heart of what needs to be changed about us and about the world. It brings to mind a beautiful image, striking image, from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian dissident writer who in the last century survived the Gulag in the Soviet Union, was in exile here in the U.S. He had experienced evil in his life. He was able to equally criticize both the Soviet Union and the U.S., and he recognized that the line between good and evil isn't a matter of a line between one party and another. It's not a line between, well, those bad liberals or those bad conservatives. Rather, his experience had shown him that the line between good and evil, he says, goes down the heart of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is capable, it's true, of this long list of vices that Jesus points out is present. And each of us is capable of incredible goodness, incredible generosity, incredible charity. Jesus has come to address these needs of the human heart, to heal our hearts. That's what he's come for. Not for the pure, who always wash their hands perfectly. Not for those who are already just. Not for the perfect. But for you and for me, who have things in our heart that need to be resolved. And then we have the freedom to express with all of our actions, all of our externals, these beautiful elements of our life and of our faith that show that we adhere to God's commandments. The celebration of God's commandments we have in the first reading are a sign of God's closeness to us. Our faith in everything that we do is also a celebration, a sign that God has drawn near and we adhere to Him in His nearness. May we never allow an undue dwelling upon externals to get in the way of our ability to address what needs to be addressed with the Lord in our hearts. We gather around the Eucharist, we gather as Christians, and we take His word to heart so we can be a community not of Pharisees, but of disciples of Christ.